The Hard Shoulder.
With Nissan. Number one for petrol in Ireland. Number one for electric. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
This is News Talk.
And a report has been lodged today in Leinster House by one of the Oireachtas committees, Children and Youth Affairs. It deals with the issue of one in four children suffering from obesity. So parents are absolutely interested in this issue. What are their recommendations? Well, joining me now on the line is a member of the committee, Senator Catherine Noone of Fine Gael, and Catherine Woods of the Department of Physical Education, Physical Activity for Health in the University of Limerick. Both of you, welcome to the programme. Catherine, what are your main recommendations?
Well, there are, 20-something of them, so I'll go through a few key ones. Recommendation 8 is in relation to fast food outlets in the vicinity of schools. And basically, there has been an initiative in certain local authorities to have an exclusion zone near schools when it comes to fast food. So that's that recommendation in a nutshell. Then there's recommendation 12, for example, which would introduce a ban on vending machines selling junk food in schools, which kind of is hard to believe isn't there already. Recommendation 13 is in relation to physical activity during break times, and specifically with insurance liability issues, where some schools actually have had to prevent running in schools because I suppose they're in fear of claims that have happened in the past. Recommendation 15 is in relation to the nutrient profile model in the context of advertising and marketing unhealthy food, and basically that we need to be looking at the online world as much as, you know, the broadcast media when it comes to what children are seeing online in terms of unhealthy food. And then the introduction of a statutory code is number 16 when it comes to advertising and marketing for foods and non-alcoholic beverages. And number 19 is in relation to the increased provision of support for breastfeeding in Ireland. And that's a really important one because we perform quite badly on international standards when it comes to breastfeeding. And, you know, if a lot more was done at an earlier age, in terms of as soon as they're born, children are proven to be a lot healthier. And then that recommendation 20, which is in the area of the psychological part of it and the portrayal of body image on social media and in traditional media. And there are a lot of studies about how difficult that can be for young people. So that's a nutshell of them. I can read the rest out to you if you
well,
wish.
No, it seems to be a bit of a liquor of all sorts, a lucky bag of little trinkets. I mean, is there any one of them is going to be a societal game changer?
Well, I mean, you kind of, by asking that question, you put your finger on the problem, really, in the sense that no one thing is going to sort out childhood
obesity.
Well,
we were told by the likes of you that a sugar tax was going to sort this out.
No, I never said that it was going to sort it out. I said that it would be one measure of many measures that would help to reduce the instance of childhood obesity. It's not, I'm sorry to say, it's just not that simple. And, you know, it goes obviously to parenting, to what happens in school, to what people see in their environment. You know, we have a huge lifestyle problem in this country in the sense that, you know, people are sedentary a lot of the time. And it's hard to talk about this stuff without sounding like you think you're better because, you know, we all have issues when it comes to making sure we get enough exercise, making sure we eat correctly. So to say that there should be one ticket item that will solve the problem really is to show a lack of understanding of the problem in a sense, because, you know, it won't be one thing that will solve this problem. It'll be exercise, food. It seems simple on the face of it. If you cut back exercise, cut back food, increase exercise, you will be healthy. But, you know, it's more complicated than that, unfortunately. Psychological issues come into play. And as I said, lifestyle and, you know, a myriad of issues, which won't be solved by any one measure, unfortunately.
Well, we know eat less, move more is the way to go. Catherine Woods, on the move more and the physical activity, you've had a scan of these recommendations. Do any of them on the physical activity side catch your eye?
Hi, Ivan. Yes, they do. I think that there's a number of recommendations there. I think the one about the tackling that whole issue of insurance in school, and it says quite sort of straightforward, to ensure that situations do not arise whereby children are restricted from participating in physical activity during break times due to fear of litigation. That taps into the whole concept of surplus safety. And, you know, this whole notion that preventing children being active is not without its consequences. In other words, if we develop a social norm around the relationship between activity and injury, then we're at risk of tolerating, you know, not tolerating even minor injuries, which are a natural and an important part of growing up. And this well-intended position contributes to the risk of childhood.
And do you think that's because of litigation, that boards of management and teachers and schools, or do you think that it's excessively focusing on safety, that kids always ran around and got knocks and scrapes and so on, and now we have to put them all in cotton wool?
Absolutely. It's excessive in my mind, and the phrase I use is surplus safety, because by doing that, even though it may be well intended, the consequence of that is that you're depriving them of opportunities for being active and having independent play, but also of emotional and social development. There are other recommendations, though, as well, Ivan, including, very importantly, continuing professional development for physical education teachers, as indicated in the National Physical Activity Plan, working with sporting organisations, national governing bodies of sport, to bring in more formal links between national governing bodies of sports and primary and post-primary education settings. And what would be really great here would be to see really good quality physical education curriculum that's broad, balanced and meets the requirements. Remember, we only have about 20% of our post-primary schools giving the recommended minimum level of physical education to the post-primary children in this country. So one time, two broad and balanced curriculum, and three, linking then with the NGBs in the extracurricular time, outside of school, in the school setting or in the community setting, to provide high-quality opportunities for a child who wants to do gymnastics, a child who wants to play football, a child who wants to do martial arts. It doesn't matter, as long as the activity is of high quality, well-taught, well-coached and well-supported.
I want to put it to you, and did the committee research this, that Roisin Shortall once said in this studio to me that one of the features of child obesity is a socioeconomic factor, that it's children from disadvantaged backgrounds whereby there are parenting issues, that it's far more severe. Are there any statistics in this report to back that up?
Are you talking to me now?
Yes, Catherine.
Yeah, there are. I actually can't put my finger on the exact figure, but there, you know, that it is without question that those living in, you know, lower socioeconomic groups have a greater difficulty in this area. And actually, I should have mentioned recommendation 11, which is that we recommended that the government should consider the introduction of home economics as a compulsory subject on the junior cycle curriculum for post-primary schools. And in actual fact, we should nearly be going earlier with that, with home economics, because the idea here would be that children would learn about how to prepare healthy food, not the home economics that used to be done years ago where you were making buns and, you know, it was all very interesting and useful stuff to learn, but from a very basic health and nutritional point of view, that children would be taught that in schools, and that information would get back to their parents. But in some counties in Ireland, Sligo in particular, there's a fantastic initiative where they go into the community and teach parents about how to prepare healthy food. And a lot of the time, they're totally willing. It's just that they don't necessarily have the tools. And that is a really important area that you've mentioned there.
But Dan has texted me in here in relation to that very point of compulsory home economics in the junior cycle. He said it'll never happen because it involves a fundamental change, because the Department of Education in 2015 introduced a framework on the junior cycle that specifically said that only parents can educate their children properly on nurturing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge challenge.
Which raises the point, will this just gather dust, this report?
Well, there's always that danger, Ivan, and I make no bones about that. And it's the very last thing, contribution that I made at the launch today, was that I said, I do not want to see this on a shelf. I want to get the four ministers into our children's committee that would be pertinent when it comes to this report, health, education, sport and children, and to try and get buy-in to a lot of the recommendations that we have suggested, because they're thoroughly thought through. A lot of them are initiatives that I myself have been, you know, pushing for the last since I was elected 7.5 years ago. You know, so it's not an issue. Childhood obesity isn't an issue that gets votes for politicians, but it is an area that has such a huge impact on every citizen in the country, and parents are very concerned about it. And it's sometimes I have felt as though I've been bashing my head off a brick wall about this issue, because it is, you know, they talk about fiscal space, but we'd have a lot more fiscal space if we sorted out our lifestyle issues. And, you know, that's why I'm thrilled. Like, I can understand why you would say it's only a report, and you've been in these houses, so you know the way things work. But this report needs to be actioned, and certain elements of it are challenging. But that doesn't mean that we should really try to get them through the various departments.
Finally, Catherine Woods, a couple of texts here. Ger says, with children not being allowed to run around in their schools, the lunatics have certainly taken over the asylum. Why is everyone afraid of these crackpots? I mean, how do we change that? Do we send a circular to every primary school to say, let them run around?
I think awareness raising about the unintended consequences of a decision like that is very important. It may be well intended, but the challenge is if you put children off being active at a very young age, where physical activity takes its root in childhood, then the likelihood is they're going to be inactive as adults, and that's going to lead to poor adult health as well as poor childhood health. What I really like about the recommendations is the link between the National Physical Activity Plan, the sport policy just published in 2018, and some of the recommendations, recommendation 5 or 6, which really tackles the school but also the community. So it's not just about the school or the school setting, but the community and the link between the child's physical activity, the parent's physical activity, and the local clubs that provide activity opportunities for the child.
Okay, we're completely out of time. My thanks to the two Catherines, Catherine, Senator Catherine Noone and Catherine Woods of University of Limerick. Your children are 100% your responsibility. If your children are obese, it's 100% the parents' fault. It's as simple as that. And someone else says, more about childhood obesity, it never ends. Let's say it straight. For the most part, fat kids have fat parents. Other kids are sitting on their backsides on digital devices because their parents come home for work and spend their evenings watching TV or Netflix. We're a nation of people looking for any excuse to sit on our asses. So if you're a fat parent or a fat child, text me to defend yourself at 53106. Up next, we'll be speaking to Padder Tobin, who wants to set up a new 32-county party movement.